Thank you. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I hope you've enjoyed these parables, profited from them, and been blessed by them. I know I have. I've learned a great deal. We still preach in part and know in part only. This is the last of seven parables, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them, the wicked, into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, the Lord says, again, the kingdom of heaven. He reminds us, mercifully reminds us, of the kingdom of heaven. We read so much of the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Scripture speaks of the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Christ is the King in that kingdom, King of kings. There's a psalm that says, kings shall bring their glory into it. We're going to see King David. We're going to see King Solomon, Josiah, and so on and so forth. A glorious kingdom. Thousands and thousands, a vast kingdom, 10,000 times 10,000. Scripture says it's an everlasting kingdom. No end of His kingdom, of His dominion, of His government, His reign. No end. A kingdom of inexpressible beauty. Eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard. The heart hasn't known the things God hath prepared for them that love Him, because He first loved them. A kingdom of perfect peace, perfect, unbridled joy, unending joy, unspeakable glory, perfect love, harmony, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where all of God's people dwell with Him and He with them, and enjoy one another, a kingdom without sin, a kingdom without sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Does that appeal to you? Again, the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, he said, cast into the sea. Gathered of every kind, a net. The making up of God's kingdom, His family, His kingdom. It's people is what it is. God's church, God's kingdom is people. The making up of His kingdom, the gathering in of His people, the salvation of His people is likened unto a net. This is another picture of the gospel, the net, gospel net. A net is something that encompasses fish. A net is something that surrounds the fish and encloses the fish so that they are apprehended. They're apprehended and they can't get out. That's our gospel. That's how the gospel differs from this modern gospel. God's salvation, the only salvation there is, true salvation, is God's sovereign electing, apprehending grace and gospel. That God sends it out to apprehend one of His elect, and they're not getting away. I like that. It's like a net. The Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, in power, closes in on, hems up, and finally catches one of God's elect. Apprehends them so that they cannot get away. The modern false gospel is a sham. It's a salvation that saves no one. It's a mere offer. I liken it under modern fishing techniques. Modern fishing uses lures and artificial bait to try to trick the fish or entice the fish. Try to woo them, so to speak, to trick them and entice them, and that's exactly what modern religion does. It resorts to all manner of tactics and techniques and plots and ploys to try to get people to come into this kingdom. They use things that aren't real. They dead works, artificial, like artificial bait and tricks, and try to make something look real that's not. And people, sad to say, people swallow it all. Hook, line, and sinker. Nothing. Anything and everything that's thrown at them to entice them. God doesn't use bait. He only uses His Word. He gives the command. God doesn't ask anybody anything. He tells them. God gives the command. God doesn't try to catch fish or men. God doesn't try it. God does as He will, with whom He will, when He will, according to His will. And none can stay His hand or go against it. I love that. He doesn't try. The Lord caught some fish when He was on the earth, and He caught some fish. Twice the Lord had the disciples cast the net. And He's the one that put the fish in that net, wasn't it? They had toiled. See, with man, this thing of salvation is impossible. With man, it's impossible. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit, the sovereign Spirit of God, the sovereign power of God to bring people into His kingdom. And He uses His Word, men to preach it. But it's not the preacher. It's not the soul winner, so to speak. No, no. Spirit of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ twice had His disciples who had fished all night and caught nothing. See, man can't do anything, can't bring anybody into God's kingdom. Christ alone must do that. And twice He told them to cast their nets on the right side of the ship. Twice did He. In the beginning, when He first revealed Himself to them, that's how they knew it was the Lord. The one who knew the fish in the sea. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And knoweth our thoughts. And that's what drove Peter to his knees. He knew that the Lord knows every fish in that ocean. And directs them. He knows every thought in his head. And Peter bowed before this sovereign Lord. Sovereign master of the sea. And in the end, when they thought he was dead, He appeared again, didn't He? Children, you have any meat? Cast your net on the right side. John said, it's the Lord. But they brought in, it says, what was 153? There's an exact number given. Why is that? Why was that important? The Lord wrote that down, didn't He? It was 153. Is that important? Well, see, the Lord has numbered His people. He numbered them. There's a people which no man can number, as the stars of the sky. But He telleth the stars. He knows them all by name. He put every one of them in place. The very hairs of your head are numbered. how much more his people? Number. He was numbered with the transgressor. Had to add that. But the Lord had them cast the net into the sea twice, and twice he commanded those fish to get in that net. Another time, Peter said that they came and said, we don't have any money for our taxes. And he said, Simon, go down to the Lake Galilee and cast the hook in. No bait on it. No bait. That's a bare hook. Any fisherman in here that's ever caught a fish without bait on it? Huh? It's just not possible, is it, John? Not possible, is it, Kelly? Most of the time, I don't catch anything with ever bait known to man, dead or alive. But cast a hook in there, and he brought out a fish. You know how many fish there are in that lake? And in that fish's mouth was the exact amount of money needed to pay their taxes. You may be wondering where your tax money is going to come from. That's the same place. Same Lord. Not making light. I'm saying that for your comfort. Really. Really. Everything has been ordered by our Lord. He orders it all. But the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea. And wherein are gathered, verse 47, of every kind. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The preaching of the gospel through the power of God, the power of His Spirit, the sovereign command of our Lord, gathers in a people out of every kindred, nation, every tongue, every tribe, all peoples. And Acts chapter 2 is a wonderful illustration of this. Acts chapter 2. The Lord began making up His kingdom back with the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and Abel, and on it went, Noah and Shem, and Japheth, their posterity, and even some of Ham, and Abraham, and all sorts of people, every color, shape, and size. Every tribe, nation, kindred. Here in Acts chapter 2, the apostles were preaching. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselyte, Cretes, Arabians. What were the apostles doing? The thing the Lord sent them to do. What He sends all of His preachers to do. The only thing that draws God's people into His kingdom. The power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the gospel. That's all they did. They didn't try to entice people. They didn't try to woo people. They didn't try to bribe people. They didn't try to coerce people. They didn't offer anything. They didn't bribe them with anything. They wouldn't pack a pew Sunday, you know, and put $10 under the pew. We'll have a spaghetti dinner and see how many people we can get in. No, sir. God knew. God brought them all there to hear the gospel. Some believed, some didn't. That was of the Lord. Now, they did one thing. They stood up and preached. And they said after it was over, verse 11, they heard them speak in their languages the wonderful works of God. They stood up and preached. Now, you know. You know this message of Pentecost. What did Peter preach? What did Simon Peter, on behalf of all the apostles, stand up to preach? Christ and Him crucified. The Lord seated on a throne. Not a pitiful, helpless Jesus who wants to, tried and can't and failed and wants to, stands outside and hopes, won't you flick? No, no. A sovereign, successful Lord. A substitution and satisfaction. A sovereign, successful, seated Lord. A Lord on a throne. A Lord who came to do what God sent Him to do, and He did it. And went back to heaven and sat down expecting His enemies to be made His footstool. A Lord who came to pay the price for His people's sin, and He paid it all, and every one of those for whom He died will be brought into His, will be redeemed, will be brought into His kingdom. And sat down. And God sent the Holy Spirit to round them up. Every one of them. into that net, the gospel net. And they did. 3,000. 3,000, to be exact. That's what the Lord uses. That's the only gospel. If anybody preaches any other gospel, any other Lord, any other God, any other gospel, it's a false gospel. No one has ever been saved by it. They're all deluded. There are false prophets who preach this God loves you, Christ died for you, now won't you let him into your heart? That's a false gospel. Anybody who preaches that is a false prophet. Anybody who was supposedly saved under that is lost as I speak. And one God, one Lord, one faith, one gospel, one power of God, a God who is God, a Christ who is Christ, salvation that saves, a blood that atones, God who chooses, that's the only gospel there. There is no other. There's no other. And all who have been saved, all who believe this gospel, know that it was God that apprehended them. Every single person he's brought into his kingdom know that they didn't choose to do so. They weren't offered a choice. They weren't given any choice at all. They were apprehended, like Jacob of old. They all know that it was the Lord who came to them and laid hold of them through the preaching of the gospel and said, you will believe this, won't you? You will bow, won't you? Yes, I will. They are made willing in the day of his power. There just is no gospel. It's not a matter of changing doctrines. It's not a matter of coming to a better understanding. It's being brought from death to life, from darkness to life. It's being out in the world like everybody else, lost, dead, without God, without Christ. But God comes and plucks them as a brand from the burning. Sends his net and encloses them and says, you're mine. I bought you with a price. You're not going anywhere. You're coming to me. That's the gospel. There is no other. There is no other. This book does not tell of any other gospel. Well, in go back to our text. It says in verse 48, which when it was full, Scripture speaks of the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. There are no dispensations. Oh, no, no. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God has saved his people the same way from the beginning. One way. There's one way. It's one truth. One Lord. One salvation. One Spirit. Say the Spirit wasn't given until after. Oh, that's not so. That's not so. Did not David say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me? All through the Scripture, the Old Testament, that is, the Spirit of God would apprehend, but move upon people and bring them to Christ. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. To him give all the prophets witness. They or they which testify of me. Abel believed Christ. Abraham, Moses, Noah, preacher of righteousness, all the Old Testament saints heard the gospel. That rock was Christ. That's who it was. Oh, it's all the same. It's all. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. What God had purposed to do, he sent Christ to fulfill. God predetermined the salvation of his people, and there's not any possibility whatsoever that any of them should be lost. And Christ came and did that work, and the Holy Spirit goes and gets them. And in the end, they're all going to be there. All that the children, all the children God has given to Christ. And in the end, when it's full, Scripture talks about the fullness of the Gentiles, doesn't it? In Romans 11, I believe it is, the fullness of the Gentiles. The Jews, you know, the Lord gathered thousands and thousands and thousands in the early time, and now it's the Gentiles. And this gospel net's going out all over the world, the Gentile world, and bringing them into his kingdom. Into his kingdom until it's going to be full. Till time is full and it's open. There'll be an end. And verse 49 says, so shall it be at the end of the world. It's all going to come to an end. End of the world. Man's secret thought is that we shall live forever. And this world is all they know, it's all they want to know. But we have here no continuing city, do we? We're not trying to save our planet. I advise you not to polish the brass on this Titanic. Forsake it. Forsake it. Seek a new world wherein dwelleth righteousness. But our Lord said it's going to come to an end. Our Lord spoke of it more than anyone. The end. He'll send his angels. They'll come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And when this gospel's preached, it has a sanctifying power. That's what separation is. A sanctification, setting apart. Like the Jews and the Egyptians. The Israelites and the Egyptians. What made the difference? What does the scripture say? The Lord doth put a difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. The Lord revealed himself to the Jews and not the Egyptians. The Lord gave the Jews, the Israelites, the Passover, put the blood on their doorpost, not the Egyptians. That's particular redemption in it. It sure is. There is no other gospel. Anybody preaches a general atonement preaches a false gospel. Anybody that trusts in a blood that was shed for those in hell as much as those in heaven, what good did that blood do you? No. But oh, the hope of God's people is that when God sees the blood, he will pass over. That is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us, that puts away every sin. The effectual blood, sovereign blood. The blood that God shed, his own blood, which he shed for his church. All right, verse 48 says, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. Good and bad. They gathered the good into the vessels fit for the master's use, but cast the bad away. Good and bad, like tares and wheat that we read about. Goats and sheep. Our Lord is the one who said, when it's all over, he said, then the Lord, the King, will sit on his throne and he'll separate the goats from the sheep. Goats and the sheep. Say to them on his right hand, the sheep, enter into the kingdom prepared for you. Prepared for you. Chosen. And the rest he'll cast into outer darkness. Who determined, in the flood, when God told Noah to go out and get clean animals and unclean? You ever thought about this? Who determined what animal's clean and what's unclean? And we still today look at those animals, by and large don't eat some of those animals. We do eat things now that aren't worth eating. But who determined then what was a clean animal? God did that. He said, this is clean and this is unclean. Not fair? This is clean. Didn't he? He said so. That's what made it clean. This is unclean. Because he said so. That just entered into my mind for the first time. Who determines who's good and who's bad? They all look alike pretty much, don't they? God does. Two men came into the temple one day. One looked good to everybody. The other one looked real bad. A Pharisee, publican. God said of the man that everybody thought was good, he says, wicked. And the man everybody thought was bad, he said, justified. That's my hope, isn't it? You know what? God looked down and see if there are any. Does he understand? He said, they're all together become filthy. So what did God do? Clean. He chose something. Clean. Unclean. Just Barak, they're all unclean. It's not like there's some good fish out there. That's who God chooses. Oh, no, 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 no. There's none that do it good. No, not one. Well, what about after they're saved? What did Paul say? Finest man, one of the finest men ever lived, Apostle Paul. What did he say about himself? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If there's any good, it is God that worketh in us, both the will and do of His good pleasure. That's right. Who maketh thee to differ? And it's the blood. It's the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Not by works. We don't have any good works. God Almighty imputed, charged the good works of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. Clean. I love that. You know who's clean? Those that love that. Let such as love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified. The Lord's righteousness. The Lord's choice. The Lord's mercy. The Lord's will. That's how you know. That's how you know. And yes, they have good work, but they don't trust in them, and that's not what saves them. No, sir. Good, bad. Just, unjust. And I was going to have you turn to Romans 3 and Romans 1 and Romans 2 and Romans 3, but I'm out of time. But you know those verses, don't you? Romans 1, he sums up the whole Gentile world as a filthy. God gave them over. Look at our world. It's a filthy place, isn't it? A wicked, vile place. It's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All right, then you get in chapter 2, you have the Jews, the religious people, you know, that look good to everybody, that sound good, and they're religious. And what does God say about them? They don't keep the law either. They don't keep it either. They know it, but they don't keep it. And then chapter 3 says, are we any better than they? Are we any different than they? No, we before proved. They're not at all come short of the glory of God. None that doeth good. But being justified freely by the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Chosen. Righteous. And the whole book of Romans goes on to tell how that God did this for His chosen one. The ones that He said, these are going to be clean. A people chosen by God before the foundation of the world who would be rotten to the core, whom God would say one day, clean. You're going to be mine. A lump made out of the same lump, and He's going to conform them to the blessed image of His Lord. Clean, holy, righteous, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. It's all His doing. His choice, His work, His glory. There is no other gospel. Net. It's a net. Say, what's that got to do with the net? Well, it's everything. The net brought them in, and the net, He chose them, and He determined who was good and who was not good, who was just and who was wicked, and cast some into the furnace of fire. You know, everybody in glory, every single saved son of Adam thinks they know they don't belong in heaven. They don't deserve to be there. Someone once said, I kind of like this, said, there'll be three surprises when we get to heaven. And not really, but it sounds good. Three surprises. One, we're going to see some people there we didn't expect to see them. Just an illustration, you know. Number two, we're going to be surprised some people not there we expected to be there. Probably not, but he said the biggest surprise of all, I'm there. Can't believe it. There's going to be silence in heaven for 30 minutes. That's because we're all going to be stand there dumbfounded, spellbound, with our mouths open. Can't believe I'm here. I can't believe He chose me. No. He's going to sever. We're going to say amen to the death of the wicked, and we ought to be right in the middle of it. People just like us. A brother a sister, a wife, a husband, a parent, a child. Who makes you to differ? So he said in closing, verse 51, he said to his disciples after all these parables, "Have you understood all these things?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." I have to laugh at that. We can study these things. They were just with him 3 years. And four young fellows, they're all young in their 30s, early 40s. And, "Yay, Lord, yeah, we understand. Oh, do you now?" But we can study these things all our lives and still not fully understand the Lord's great mercy and grace, and electing grace, purpose and will, and works. They said, "Yes, Lord." And he said in verse 52, "Then said he unto them, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven." Now I guess that's me, one who's just repeating what the Lord has said, a scribe, transcribing, and instructed. You must be chosen and instructed to do this. "Into the kingdom of heaven." That's his subject. That's what he preaches. That's who he preaches. "He's like unto a man that's a householder." He's been given charge of a house that belongs to someone else. It's his master. And here's what he's to do. He's to bring forth out of his treasure. He brings forth out of the Lord's treasure. Oh my, what a treasure. What a treasure this is. The more you look at it, the more you read it, the more I read this book, the more glorious it becomes. The more I preach from it, the more I realize I've left that I don't know. It's just a vast treasure. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The half has never been told. Haven't even come close all these years, thousands of years. But he brings forth, and the Lord, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And he brings forth out of this treasure things new. If you don't see something new every time the gospel's preached, if you don't hear something new, you should. We should learn something. Maybe we haven't listened as a little child, but things new, the gospel should be good news every time we hear it, fresh and new. And oh, the gospel is good news. His mercy is new every morning. Good news, things new, revelation. We've got a lot to learn, though. If we're listening correctly, or little children, we ought to learn something. But as Paul said to the Thessalonians, things you already knew. New things about old things. New things about the old story. Same old truth, but a new way of seeing it and hearing it. New thing. Gospel is new, but as old as God himself. What a treasure. Okay.